This episode of Nintendo Expansion Pass is brought to you by, well, you. If you want to learn how to support Nintendo Podblock and the Boss Rush Network, head on over to our Patreon at patreon.com/BossRushNetwork and see which tier is right for you. Thanks for your continued support. Everybody, welcome to Nintendo Expansion Pass here on Boss Rush Games. I'm your host, the Atlantic Excited ADV. Joining me is the one, the only, Bossman himself, Mr. Corey Derrick. Hello, good sir.
Hey, Ed. It's time for another one of them cool expansion passes that we do once in a while. We're kind of jamming them all in before PAX, it feels like.
That is true. The countdown.
I just want to give everybody a significant time off, you know? I know people need it, and to give people time off, we have to work extra hard the few weeks beforehand. So here we are.
Yes,
probably mid-April by now, but who knows? Who's to say?
Yes.
This is Expansion Pass 99, by the way, Ed.
Really?
Yeah. Of the new, I would say the since we rebooted Expansion Pass, this is episode 99.
So one more will make our 100th episode.
Very good, Ed. That's great math.
Yes. No, the reason why I say it is because I don't know, is that going to be like a special discussion on episode 100?
We should probably do something for episode 100, right? I mean, that seems logical. Maybe maybe we'll do one at PAX, an in-person one. We got to do a lot of Nintendo stuff at PAX, Ed. I know we got to do Boss Rush stuff also, but we need to do some special stuff at PAX for Powblock and stuff. So, by the way, side tangent, might already be up on the YouTube channel, but so I made an appointment with Atari, right? Mm-hmm. But also, it's the 25th anniversary of Roller Coaster Tycoon. And so I talked with their PR person today, and they're going to give me a few extra minutes at my appointment to talk with someone who currently works on Roller Coaster Tycoon as a series. And I'm going to directly ask them, when is Roller Coaster Tycoon Classic coming to modern consoles? Enough of this Roller Coaster Tycoon Adventures, Roller Coaster Tycoon 3 stuff. I need Classic. I'm just saying. Throw it on Switch. I'll play it. Okay? Dude, if they put Roller Coaster Tycoon on Switch, you'd lose me forever. I'm sorry. You would.
You know, it's, I think,
I played Roller Coaster Tycoon Adventures, the worst possible version of Roller Coaster Tycoon on the worst possible platform, and I still played 100 hours of it. Okay.
I would take Roller Coaster Tycoon Classic on Xbox and straight through mouse and keyboard. I could do it on my PC, but I'm just like, I kind of want it on my big screen and everything. And just be like, because I think I would love to stream that game, just to show my designs and everything. Like Roller Coaster Tycoon 3, I would definitely stream on Xbox because I want to show my designs. And since it allows keyboard and mouse, I'm like, why not?
Mm-hmm.
Goodness, that game is just. Roller Coaster Tycoon 3 is my game. I love 1. 2 is good. I love 3 because of the unlimited financing and things I could do with just
Sandbox. You don't like to play the game. You just want to build the roller coasters.
Yeah, for 3? Yes. Yes. But you know what? I think what I mean, I I would have to relearn some things about 1 and 3 campaign and stuff. But I have always been about designing my own roller coasters ever since I was a kid. Because, you know, me and you are different when it comes to amusement park. You're straight Disney. I'm Six Flags. So, and not no disrespect to Disney, but Disney is a theme attraction. So it's not about much, a lot about the roller coasters. It's about the experience there, mm-hmm. you know, going through their IPs or, you know, franchises and stuff and, you know, food and everything. It's a really family experience and they cater to mostly kids and it's a magical feeling. Where Six Flags is like about the thrill. It's about the roller coaster design. It's about the science of gravity with the roller coasters. Like, how do they do this? How does curve got this angle? And it's all about that. So I think that's what I like about Six Flags. Definitely being an area that's where I grew up in. And riding those roller coasters and having that fun, taking that experience to Roller Coaster Tycoon 3, I'm more about designing the coasters where you are about designing the park. And I think it's because of Disney and how they designed their park.
I mean, sure, but also I just like playing the game. I like the business parts of it. I think it's challenging and fun and it teaches you a lot, I think. And I like playing the business parts of that game. I know that's weird, but I think it's you know, I think it's fun.
Well, and I think that applies to us. Personally, I think it's because of, you know, we're both creatives, but we're creatives in different ways. Where, like, since you love the business and you know, love to create and do behind the scenes stuff, designing the park fills up your wheelhouse. And for me, my creative space, you know, hosting, getting topics and, you know, just seeing what I could create and make stuff feel original and everything. I think that's why I like the creative part of Roller Coaster Tycoon, especially with 3. It's because of making those curves and trying out the, you know, hills and the gravity and just like making these cool designs. And not worrying about who's going to come and ride my ride and, you know, if they're going to get sick or not. Like, that part is not important to me. Where it is important to you and everything. So, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, anyways.
What goes to take 3? If you guys want to hear more about our discussion on that game, check out Optional Opinion, where me and Corey talk about it. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud. Just look it up, and you definitely will hear our discussion about that series. Such a fun discussion. I love that discussion we had. But Corey, you actually had a topic for the show.
Yeah, I did, Ed. And let me... I told you I would kind of forget by the time we started recording, and let me go back to it. Oh yeah, okay, I remember. So this has to do with our. So we had a recent spotlight with the good people over at WayForward, and you know, one of the topics that came up, you know, not in a real serious way, so don't take this as any kind of confirmation from them or us or anything, but the fun thing that I, you know, we kind of did with them was pitch them perfect type of games and you know, that would fit the WayForward mode, right? Like mold. I said WayForward should definitely remake classic Mega Man games or put their own spin on the old Mega Man games, which I think would be more interesting. Mm-hmm. You know, and The other one was an X-Men brawler, either, you know, remake the Konami one or make one based off X-Men 97 or combine the both of them, something. And Pat actually...
Remake the Sega Genesis one.
Yeah. No, I don't want to reset my console just to play the game. And Pat brought up Castle of Illusion, the Mickey Mouse game.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they were talking about Chippendale Rescue Rangers, and we got into DuckTales and, you know, all these other things that they would be totally amazing at, right? Which, by the way, their Contra game is pretty good. So, and I'm not just saying that because we interviewed them. I am actually really enjoying it. Thank you again, WayForward, for putting a dash in the game. It changes everything.
Yes.
The double jump. Delightful.
Yes.
Delightful. And banking a weapon, like being able to have a second weapon that you can switch to.
Well, that's from Contra 3, so they kept that.
I know, but still, like, it helps, especially because Operation Galuga is the you know, kind of a reimagining of that first game, right? So that's what I'm comparing it to. So my thought, Ed, would be, I'm gonna name some studios out there, and I want you to give me, you know, two or three games that you think they would be great at making. Okay.
Okay.
These studios range from large to small.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so hold on. I have a list. Let me find the list here real quick. Sorry, everybody. I'm very ill prepared for my topic. Okay. So here's my list, Ed. Okay. So we have, I want you to tell me one or like two or three franchises that exist already, but apply them to this studio's style. Okay. And I want your thoughts on WayForward as well, but we're going to do these other studios first. Okay. So, Studio MDHR, the Cuphead developers.
Cuphead. Okay. So I think a game like them, because of their artwork and style, I think the Ice Climbers from Nintendo. I could definitely see a two-player beat 'em up or vertical puzzle game with their style, or taking those characters and make something new and different and stuff. So Ice Climbers would definitely be one. Number two, I probably would go with there was an airplane game. Fantasy Zone. From Sega. Their Cuphead art style would fit Fantasy Zone perfectly. I would love to see that because it's zany in its colors and how you play that game. And it's a shoot 'em up, and they're good. Their shoot 'em up levels in Cuphead is really good. Challenging, but really good. So that would be two. There was like this flying game where you flew from right to left on NES. Sky something, I cannot think of it. I'm about to go back and look it up. But I think for their third game, I probably would go with the first Kirby game to see that was on Game Boy. See them remake that and give it a new look. But add some good color and make that mug pop. So those would be my three games for them.
Okay. All right, Ed. I think this one might be a layup, but I want to hear your answers anyway. Acid Nerve, which did Death's Door.
That's a nerve with them doing Death Store. I think I would probably say Ease One, the Ease game. And for everybody who want to know, that's Y apostrophe S. It's called Ease. I used to call it YS because I didn't see the apostrophe.
Yeah, and I used to call it Y's because I didn't know.
Yeah, and that was on the NEC TurboGrafx.
Well, Ease Origins is on Switch now. So, I mean, Origins, it's weird because it's Origins 8, 9, and 10. Mm. Although, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, like the arc that 8, 9, and 10 are a part of also includes 7, which is not on the Switch, is what I heard. And so, like, I've been wanting to play it. I've been wanting to play Yeez for so long. And I'm like, oh, well, this saga starts with 7. I'll go ahead and play that. And 8, 9, and 10 are on Switch, and 7 is not. And I don't want to start, Ed, in the middle of a saga. Who does that?
Yeah.
You know?
Number 2 is another TurboGrafx game called Dungeon Explorer. It's like 8 dungeons, top down. I remember my mom getting me this game. It was like only $20. She got it for me on a Saturday, and I was finished with it Sunday morning before I went to church. That would be my second game. My third one from them would probably, oh man, I think my third one from them, if Working Design had let them do it, I think a remake of Alandra would definitely be one.
Hmm.
Because Alandra has that same feeling of Death Store in a sense. Even though Death Store is on a diag and Alandra is on like a top-down view, their games feel like earlier Working Design games. So those would be my three. Ease, Dungeon Explorer, and Alandra.
Hmm. Okay. Now, this next one might also be a layup, but I'm also interested to hear what you have to say, because they've done some pretty interesting games, and they're all pretty different. Heart Machine. So they did Hyper Light Drifter, they did Solar Ash, and now they're doing Hyper Light Breaker, which is like a 3D action-ish game. Tell me.
Goodness. Okay, so
I have an idea that might be great for them.
With them, goodness, I probably would have them do Back to the Future from the NES or LGN. But literally change it where it is a top-down exploring game, from them. Because I know the LGN version is kind of a mess and stuff, but I kind of would love to see them do like an exploration adventure from another one would be Space Harrier for the Sega Master System, a remake of that, because of Solar Ash with the quick movement in her, with that. And then third, I probably, what would be their third game? Goodness, their third, what is that? There was a Capcom game that wasn't Strider, but it was like Raijin or something. where this man had this sword. It was a 2D kind of game.
Strider?
No, it was a different one.
I don't know. Strider, you had a sword, sort of.
Right, but Strider has been...
You're killing my flow here, Ed.
Huh?
Kill my flow here.
Well, what would be yours?
For what?
You said you had an idea for him.
Oh, I thought Kid Icarus would be interesting. I thought they could do like a really interesting take on Kid Icarus. Like based on the art style and the way those games play and how kind of kinetic they are in a weird way. And like some of the verticality in Solar Ash and the way the environments are built in Hyperlight Drifter. I think Kid Icarus would be cool. I mean, it'd be really different from what's been done before in a way, but still be pretty cool. In my opinion. That's my opinion, Edward. So, all right, Ed, another one here. Super Giant Games. The studio behind Bastion, Transistor, Pyre, and of course, Hades.
Marble Madness on NES.
Oh my gosh, you're the worst.
I would. Alien Syndrome. That was on from Sega. I think would be a good one. Just like, and you could treat it as, because a lot of Alien Syndrome was a lot of rogue elements to that game. And it was kind of mixed with a lot of level designs in that game. And definitely having the same players with that. Last but not least, I'm getting in trouble for this one. Ghost House on the Sega Master System on the card one, where you play the boy and you was punching Dracula and his ghost. And you, what you had to do is you had to fight him and, you know, try to defeat Dracula so you could get these gems. It was like 50 levels and stuff. So I would pick those three. I think them doing Ghost House in a in a Dyack 3D environment and making it slick would be a good one. So those would be my three.
Why are you the worst?
What?
I don't know. I'm just messing with you. I'm just kidding. All right. So I have three more here. Playtonic. We all know them from our favorite green lizard and purple bat, ukulele. I think, man, dude, Impossible Lair has been $3 on the eShop for like a month.
I think I'm gonna snag it so I can.
Everybody needs to buy that game. Like, also, Hellblade is also $3 everywhere. Not that it's the same game, but speaking of $3 games,
because I think I need to snag that game with my points. Because I think I got like about $10 in points. So I think I can snag that game. That's the only way not to pay tax on the eShop. Your points.
Yeah.
Okay, so Playtonic. I am going to say definitely Bubsy would be one.
That would be interesting. The first good Bubsy game.
Yeah. Possibly. Punky Skunk. I know a lot of people do not know about that game at all. I've
never even heard of it.
Punky Skunk is a 2D PS1 platformer where you are a skunk and you're swinging your tail and hitting enemies with your scent and tail. it's a bunkers gang, but definitely would be a good one. And then Q-Bert. Like, I could see Platonic doing Q-Bert as a gang. As a 3D puzzle platforming game. And then, like, on some levels, like bonus levels, it'll be like music interludes. So you have to hop on, like, you have to see the pattern of where the parts are lighting up so you can play the tune, you know, like match the tune and stuff. So, those would be my three: Bubsy, Punky Skunk, and Q-Bert.
Okay. All right. So two more here. One, pretty a much larger indie studio, I would say. I don't know if most people would call them an indie studio, but Arrowhead, the developers behind the hit game Helldivers 2, and also the original Helldivers.
Huh. Okay.
I have a good one for this, actually.
So, Akira Warriors would be one. Because I know they are good with their third-person combat, and it's their wacky worlds and stuff. And I think Akira Warriors would be a good one. Also, POW would be one. POW. Would be, you know, because that's a 2D one, so they could set that. They could also set that song. And last but not least, the Goonies. Like, with enough, with it, like, I think with the, they got a good world building and stuff, but I would love to see them to make a game, like a linear game, or even, they want to use the word Metroidvania. You know, I think they could take that and make that as a adventure game, or even like a Tomb Raider Uncharted style adventure game. I would love to see them tackle those ones. So, so yeah, the Goonies, Akira Warriors, and POW POW.
Okay. All right, Ed. One more. Played Ed. The studio behind Limbo and Inside, and I think they put out another game. Maybe they didn't. Maybe that was Limbo was their last, or Inside was their last game.
Okay. So for them, and I think I will probably go, because they're more like atmospheric style games. I mean Flashback has already been done and stuff. But I just feel like there's a Sega CD game they would need to touch.
Sewer Shark.
Ooh, good googly. Well, actually that's not a bad idea.
It's a terrible idea. Nobody should ever remake Sewer Shark. Nobody should ever touch Sewer Shark ever again.
Right. I would say Maniac Mansion would be one. But kind of make it a linear game, not so much like a adventure LucasArts style game. I would love to, for that to be like just a regular adventure game. Another one. I'm going to break the mold and have them actually make Renegade. That was on NES. I want to see them make a beat 'em up game. Like, I really want to test what they could do instead of making these atmospheric games. Can you literally do a arena style game. If not Renegade Combatrize, I would love to see them kind of do. So I would love them to put some more thought into their games where you have to do a lot of action and everything. Last but not least from them, I don't want to make them have them do a sports game or anything. So not like Arch Rivals or NBA Jam, nothing like that. But I kind of would love to see them do a game like Kid Nicky, where it is a 2D kind of action platformer with that. But I know that's kind of out of their wheelhouse. But if I want to give them Renegade, I want to give them Kid Nicky and see what they could do with that. So those would be my three: Maniac Mansion, Renegade, and Kid Nicky.
Okay. Well, Ed, that's all I have. That's all I have. I do want to hear your pitches for Way Forward, though.
For Way Forward. Okay. So, definitely, I kind of been thinking about this, and I know they've been doing a lot of Capcom and a lot of Konami, like they've been working with them and doing their own stuff. But I kind of would love them to go into the Data East and iRealm world of games. So definitely with Data East, I kind of would love to see them do Karnov. That was a game that, you know, it was this big guy with a bald head, and, you know, you connected letters to spell his name. But you had, like, these fire attacks. It was like a 2D, kind of almost like Contra-style game. But also, I would love them to do, of course, everybody, Bad Dudes. That was a 2D beat-em-up game that kind of had this slow frame rate in a sense, where you just literally punch and kick, and it was in the style of Ninja Gaiden, but it was you saving the president from this ninja organization, and the president that you're saving is like a Ronald Reagan kind of type guy. That kind of would be my thing. And Data East did do a lot of other games. I kind of got to look them up because I don't know if they're still in business or anything, but I think believe they have some games on the Arcade Archive on Switch. This updated East games. Yeah, they got a like they did Burger Time, Tag Team Wrestling, Karate Champ. They did. Karate Champ was kind of the first fighting game in a sense. Before Street Fighter came. And they got a cool logo. If you guys haven't checked it out, do check out their logo for it. Kung Fu Master was another one that was a popular one. They were more of an arcade company in the 80s and part of the 90s. Oh my goodness, Bloody Wolf. I think Bloody Wolf was TurboGrafx. Yeah, that was like a 2D army game.
Okay.
Yeah. Joe and Mac for everybody. Way Forward would do good with Joe and Mac if they had a chance to do it. Let's see. I kind of would love to do a shoot 'em up. No, everybody, I'm not going to say Arrow Flash, But I think I will make want them to make Zonk. That was the like shoot 'em up version of Bunk from Bunk's Adventures on TurboGrafx. I'm going a lot kind of back
Air Zonk.
Air Zonk, that's it. Yeah. I would that's up there for wait for it could do a Bunk's Adventure remake.
Yeah, I was we've already gotten a bunch of like Alex Kidd type remakes, I guess. Because that was one of my first thoughts. I was like trying to dig through Sega's catalog and I'm like, oh well they are, Alex Kidd would be cool, but we've already gotten a bunch of those. I mean, I bet they could do something really interesting with Alter Beast or or Golden Axe or something.
Yeah, but I think .mu has proven that if they take those titles, they're going to give it the love and care. No disrespect to Wave4 or anything, but I think Wave4 needs to obscure and not popular beat 'em ups for them to become recognizable and successful beat 'em up games. You know, there's games. What is that beat 'em up game? There's one called the Ninja Kids, and stuff. And this was from Taito, and it has some interesting themes, I would say. And you fight Satan at the end of the game. I'm going to leave it at that, because if you watch a playthrough, you might have your jaw on the floor. And I think Wave4 would give it a little bit more care about it. When you see the game in action and you see what it's about, you'll definitely be like, yeah, this is full on Japanese, not to be released in America, but somehow it came over. So I would definitely like them probably the touch on something like that. There is Vigilante, another game that I would love them to touch. That was on NEC. That was a 2D beat 'em up game where you had to save your girlfriend named Madonna. That takes place in New York. It's a very interesting IRM game and everything. Actually, Corey, if you want to go with Sega with Wave4, My Hero. I'm begging for a My Hero comeback. Because I need to dropkick champagne bottles and I need them to hit enemies. My Hero makes no sense as a game. And it's one of those where your girlfriend you get punched as the hero and your girlfriend gets kidnapped. And it's you as a boy in this blue suit, pinstripe suit, with some red ruby lips and you're jump kicking enemies. That's your main attack. You have to jump kick stuff. So, in order to hit enemies and stuff, you have to jump kick them or jump over them. Like you're fighting dogs, you're fighting punks. You get to a part where it looks like it's a park, but there's fire over places, like fire pits that you had to jump, and it's there's like two sound effects. That's you jumping and you hitting enemies. That's the only sound effects you get, and then it's the music. When you get to the boss who kidnapped your girlfriend, the first to 10 hits wins. And so you'll get your girlfriend back, but the main boss gets up, punches you, steals your girlfriend, and goes to the next level. And you have to do that over and over and over again. So that's my hero. But I think with Ray Ford having River City Girls, I think they literally could take My Hero, redo it in this 1950s, 60s settings, and go all out bunkers with it. And make it like, kind of make it as a 2D, 3D brawler like River City Girls. And add another player and stuff. Give it that final fight kind of touch to it and stuff. And add weapons. Because it was an arcade game from Sega, but I played that game on the Sega Master System. So I think that would literally be good. Side tangent. Sorry, everybody. This doesn't have to deal with Way Forward, but Zaxxon 3D would be a good PSVR 2 game, I think. Because that was a game that was in 3D, and I think if some, I don't know who the developer could be, but I'm like, to bring that game back and put it in a 3D space with VR, that would be a good contender for a PSVR 2 game.
If you want to see how you can become a Patreon producer, head on over to patreon.com/BossRushNetwork. The Patreon producers for this month are Adriel Munger, Austin Campbell, Celeste Roberts, Christian S., Sana Dierig, Francisco Santillan, Matthew Keel, and Todd Oxtra. Thanks for your continued support of the Boss Rush Network. Okay, then. PSVR 2. I've gotten so many PSVR invites from PAX, and I'm like, these are just games that are available everywhere else already. I mean, not to like take anything away from it, but it's still like, I've seen these before.
So what was there was a wild Wild West game. Was it not Gunsmith? I think it was a Konami game.
Are you talking about Gun?
No, that was the open world kind of game. No, this one was on NES, and there was a Sega Master System one with it.
I don't know. You lost me. You lost me, man.
Look, I didn't.
I'm
have
shocked time. This episode has gone this long.
I didn't have time to prepare. You know, for this. So I had to kind of think about these games that's the Sega card.
Here he goes. He's looking.
Because like the Ninja from Sega Master System would be a good one. Ghouls and Ghosts was on the Sega Master System? The heck? That's a new one.
How about Enduro Racer? Where's that? Where's that sequel?
No.
How about instead of Mario vs. Sonic, we get Excitebike versus Enduro Racer?
That would be interesting.
Except it's not a racing game. It's a combat. It's a car combat game. Like Twisted Metal or Vigilante 8.
Oh my goodness, Vigilante 8.
Or for you modern kids, the Destruction All-Stars. PlayStation. Man, that was a...
Oh, anyways.
Kung Fu Kid. Was that the...
Kung Fu Kid.
Because I keep... I've been thinking about this game called Kung Fu... Is it? I wonder if that's going to be it, Kung Fu Kid.
I don't know. You lost me. I don't know, man. Everybody was Kung Fu fighting.
Yes, Kung Fu Kid. It was a game on the Sega Master System. It was a beat 'em up where you're fighting zombies. For it. And like at the end of it, because it had horizontal and vertical levels, and you would jump up, you like you kick and jump kick and punch and stuff. And then you'll fight different enemies, boss enemies at the end of the levels and stuff. They only did one game for it. It's different than Black Belt, everybody. I think that would be a good one for Way Forest Kung Fu Kid and stuff. There's so many old games that they could do and touch. But the question is, will a lot of gamers remember them? Because we're in an age where I feel like there's a lot of new gamers and a lot of new gamers and a lot of, I would say, kind of not professional, but well-seasoned gamers. Like me and you, we're well-seasoned because we grew up with games. And so we understand the concepts and the themes and stories and gameplay, stuff like that. Where I think some of the new gamers are not familiar with some of the history, or they're more to Minecraft or Fortnite and games like that.
It's the conversation we had a couple weeks ago at this point, about, you know, when we were talking about violence in video games and how, you know, in how kids are kind of drawn to Fortnite and, you know, and then Call of Duty and all that kind of stuff. And how, you know, I think at that age, right, like a lot of games are probably starting, you could say with the N64, but I would say probably more the Xbox, PS2, GameCube era. Mm-hmm. To an extent, because all the consoles were four player and had multiplayer games and online was being introduced. Like, it became a social thing, especially like, you know, playing Halo or Call of Duty or SOCOM was huge, right? And so I think maybe beginning with that era, and then, you know, we still had couch co-op games like Mario Kart and Smash and Fusion Frenzy. You can't forget that Xbox classic.
Right.
But, you know, we had that. I think, you know, we didn't, at least me personally, like, you know, and sports games were huge. If you were, you know, Madden was huge in my life for so long, you know, and I don't know. I think you kind of change course in a way throughout your life, and your tastes change, and you start to, as you get older, you start to understand, well, hopefully you start to understand different aspects of games, and you're playing games for more than just the social interaction or just to blow off some steam. And granted, you still need those games too, but I think, you know, with age comes, you know, a little bit of, you're paying attention more and you respect the craft more. And, you know, there are even games that you push through because of the story and not necessarily how fun it is. So, yeah, I don't know. I think it kind of harkens back to that conversation a little bit.
Yeah, it's
just distracted.
No, it's just interesting to see, you know, kids and games today, because you, like, even with Roblox being a big thing with a lot of kids, it's kind of hard to enter their world of how they view video games and stuff. And will there come be a point of time where they do break out and become seasoned gamers at like us, because they tried different things, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I don't know, man. I think there are certain games that kind of pull people away from certain experiences. I don't know, man. I'm trying to see how my kids are going to start looking at video games. And it was funny this past weekend. I sat down with my kids and we all played Mario Kart together. And, you know, I had to turn on the kid stuff for them and that kind of stuff. But my kids are obsessed with the Mario characters, like just all of them. Like my daughter loves Peach and Rosalina, and my son loves Bowser. Like loves Bowser. He's like, every time he sees Bowser, he's like, Bowser, rah! It's so funny. It's really funny. And they like really like the Mario movie. And I'm just trying to see how they are experiencing video games for, you know, this generation, you know, because it's so different from when you and I, you know, I mean, even our experiences being, you know, our age gap is, you know, relevant to gaming generations, right? Like, you know, there's a lot of time that I don't remember. I mean, my first video games were on the Atari 2600, but like, I was 3 and 4, and like I remember bits and pieces of it, but like I really started remembering games when, like, you know, I remember when I got my Game Boy and stuff like that, but like I really started remembering and really loving games when I got my NES, and then my cousin gave me his Genesis, you know, and I had Ninja Turtles and Mario and Rocket Knight Adventures and stuff like that, you know. And then the big turning point for me, at least, was the N64 was a huge, you know, I liked video games before, right? I would say, but N64 was the console that got me to love video games. And even though, like, I kind of look back and I realize, well, Nintendo 64, you know, it's a great console. I love the console, but it's not like the greatest in terms of the library, right? I mean, there's definitely classics on there for sure, right? Zelda and Mario and Diddy Kong Racing and Banjo, right? It has an awesome library, but you could probably play everything you need to play on the N64 with maybe 15 carts, right? 15 cartridges. Yeah. But then you look at the generation after on GameCube, and there's like hit after hit after hit after hit after hit. And, you know, Nintendo's handheld offerings have always been there too, right? And going and seeing my kids never experiencing, you know, the 8-bit generation, and then growing into the 16-bit generation, and then growing into the 32 and 64-bit generation, and then, you know, growing up with games, like, we are the only generation that's going to experience that.
Yeah.
This would be a fascinating expansion pass on its own, right? Maybe we can do that for like the 100th episode of Expansion Pass, like growing up with video games and talking about how kids are growing up now. But yeah, I really think it's fascinating how my kids are growing up seeing video games, and how, you know, Sonic isn't a video game character. He's just a character that exists on screen, or, you know, with or without a controller. Or Pokemon is a TV show to them, and there just happens to be games, right? Or, I mean, and then, you know, I was in Ninja Turtles, and like, I thought about it, but I never really like thought about it until, you know, my kids and I played through the Bluey video game. They love Bluey, and that got them to want to play video games. Was there was a Bluey video game, and they wanted to play video games. And it's like, oh yeah, duh, that's a real basic part of video games that I think we forget, because licensed games are so hit or miss. But when you're young, you don't know that, you know, you just want to play because your favorite character is in there. And so, yeah, it's really fascinating to watch them see this. And then, yeah, my son loves Mario and Bowser. And so I'm going to, I think my son more than my daughter is going to be the gamer. Because my daughter will play and then she'll like get up and do something else. And then she'll come back and be like, oh yeah, I was playing this game. And then she'll get up and go do something else, where my son was just like, he'll sit there with a controller in his hand and just stare, right? Like, you know, most people do. So I think my son is definitely going to be the gamer, but my daughter is, she's really interested in the Princess Peach game. Although I think she thinks it's a dress up game because I showed her all the costumes and not like a video game. So we'll figure that. We'll cross that bridge when we get there. But
there is a fashion game on Switch.
I know. There's a lot of them. There's probably 20 of them.
That would kind of be interesting to see, like, if you got it for her, like, how she would react to dressing up or her having a chance to create clothes and stuff.
Yeah, maybe.
Just to see how that is. Because I think with kids, they like creating stuff. They're in their the age of creating. And sometimes there are games that do that. Like for me, Mario Paint was a big one. Now, I'm not the best artist, I can admit that, but I love drawing. But they had the music section where you could put different sound effects to make songs. And some people have taken that, emulated on PC in a certain way, and kind of made like pop hits and stuff, or covers and everything. And I was always into just making songs and things like that. And when there was like games where I could create stuff, definitely if it was a music game and I could create stuff, definitely the PS2 era, I would go in and try to make music and everything. I keep saying and everything. I would try to make music because that's what I love to do. And this kind of jumps back into our first conversation about Roller Coaster Tycoon, that when 3 came out and I was able to make my roller coasters, my childhood dream came true, because I just drew roller coasters. Like there was a time that I, even though it was like simple lines and everything, I used to draw the Six Flags map or roller coasters by heart, because I knew how all of them went. Like my body recognized how those rides went and stuff. And I would just draw them, like just simple rides and everything. But as a kid, or I would say definitely when I got older and Roller Coaster Tycoon 3 came out, I was like probably in my 20s. That feeling of making a roller coaster was a big thing to me. Now, I didn't know behind the scenes that it takes a lot of work to make a roller coaster. And everything. It's like, it's just not a click, 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 put this here and stuff. It was definitely a lot of math and science with that, because it really was gravity. Like after you left the hill, the steep hill or whatever of that chain, everything is straight gravity. The only thing that's kind of electronic is the brakes if something happens. And anything other than that, it was all gravity.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
Well, yeah, I think that would be a good conversation. I would love to have that conversation.
Yeah, maybe we'll do that. Maybe we'll do that.
Man, my childhood gaming is a whirlwind. You know,
yeah.
So all the systems I played and all the arcade games that I endured and stuff.
Yeah,
and of course EGM and Game Pro.
Yeah.
So. Well, everybody, Well, Corey, I think that's going to be it for this episode. We are at the time of this recording for about 5 days out before PAX East. We're going to be meeting up with other Boss Rush member teammates, and we're going to be experiencing PAX. Me and Corey are going to be experiencing PAX for the first time. Well, my first time, I think your second time, Corey, correct?
This is my third time.
Oh, third time. Okay. Mm-hmm. Your third time.
First time as like real media, though.
Yeah, first time as real media. We're meeting, Corey's meeting the team. I met Stephanie and I met Pat. Everybody else is going to be new. So I'm definitely excited about this meetup / media and interviewing and playing games. I'm super excited for it. But with that, everybody, have a great week. Have a great weekend. And Corey, I think I like this one too. You bringing other developers and seeing what games that, you know, possibly they can make. I like that. Because it racks my brain, but I kind of had to dig deep into my memory of like, what would be a game that would be kind of cool from me? I like that. Mm-hmm. We should do more of this. With that, everybody, have a great week. Have a great weekend. And we'll see you next time on Next Special Pass. Bye, everybody.
Goodbye.
Paxies!
If you want to see how you can become a Patreon producer, head on over to patreon.com/BossRushNetwork. The Patreon producers for this month are Adriel Munger, Austin Campbell, Celeste Roberts, Christian S., Sana Dierig, Francisco Santillan, Matthew Keel, and Todd Oxtra. Thanks for your continued support of the Boss Rush Network.